There can be no doubt that Moses was one of the greatest men who have ever lived. You think of his achievement. Out of a community of slaves, he produced the strongest and most enduring and toughest nation which has ever existed upon the face of the earth. You see, in the past, all nations have passed away. The Babylonians were great builders, but they've gone without trace. The Phoenicians were great travelers, but there are no Phoenicians today. The Romans built a mighty empire, but there's nothing left of it now. But the Jews still remain and are an important force in world politics. You see, the achievement of Moses. Now, first thing we learn about Moses is how when he was a baby, his parents hid him among the papyrus flags of the Nile. And there he was discovered by the king's daughter, the Pharaoh's daughter. And he was adopted and brought up as her child. And she gave him the name Moshe. Moshe means the child of the water's edge in Egyptian. And so Moses grew up as a prince of Egypt. And when he was fully grown, he realized that his people were being oppressed and treated as slaves, and he wanted to do something for them. But his first attempt led to disaster, and he had to flee. And for many years he was a stranger in the land of Midian. And there he married and had two children. And it wasn't until he was 80 years old that God revealed himself to him. And God revealed himself to Moses through something which was quite ordinary, but at the same time very extraordinary. A burning bush. Yes, my brother, who was a soldier, told me that he'd often seen a burning bush in the desert of the East. But you see, this bush went on burning without being consumed. Something ordinary and something extraordinary. And Moses turned aside and said, I will see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed. And God told him to take his shoes off. He was standing on holy ground. And then God said, I have come down to deliver my people from Egypt, you see. And then God revealed his name, you see. Moses said, when I go to the people of Israel and say to them that God has sent me, they will say, what is his name? And God replied, I am that I am. Ayeh, Asher, Ayeh in Hebrew. What the Hebrew actually means is that God is the one who never changes. It's always the same. He has no past. He will have no future. He is eternally present, you see. That's what God is like. So you see, Moses was already equipped with a piece of divine revelation. He knew the name of God and the work of God. And God told him to go to the Pharaoh and to say, let my people go. The king of Egypt was always called the Pharaoh, you see. In Egyptian, the word Pharaoh means big house. And the king of Egypt was so important that you couldn't even mention his name, you see. You couldn't even speak about him. You had to speak of the place where he lived, the big house. So instead of saying, I'm going to see the king, you said, I'm going to see the big house, Pharaoh, you see. And the Pharaoh, when Moses went to the Pharaoh with the words, let my people go. And the Pharaoh replied, no. And God sent 10 plagues. Yes. 10 plagues of increasing intensity until the last plague of all, the time of the establishment of the firstborn. You see, the people of Israel were told to take a lamb and to keep it up to a certain time and then to kill it and to take its blood and to put the blood above the door of the post of the house where they lived, and on the two side posts. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, you see. Pass over. And that, of course, was a forecast, a prophecy of the coming of Jesus, who would shed his blood. And it is through the blood of Christ that all our sin is taken away, as St. John tells us very clearly. And then we read how Moses led the people of Israel out, and as they went out of Egypt, and they came to the sea in front of them, and there they were confronted with the sea in front, and behind them came the chariots and the army of the Pharaoh, who wanted to bring them back. And they cried out in fear, what shall we do? And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. You see. And sure enough, when Moses cried to God, God opened a path through the sea, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry land, and the Egyptians followed them, and God brought back the water, and the Egyptians were drowned, and the Israelites saw their enemies dead upon the seashore. That was the way in which God led his people out of Egypt, by a great act of salvation, you see. And that is a prophecy, again, of the fact that the Christian life begins with a great act of salvation, which we appropriate, you see. When we think of becoming a Christian, we say to ourselves, I should like to be a Christian, you see. But the question is how? You see, one of my friends was challenged. Somebody said to him, are you a Christian? So he said, well, I've been baptized and I've been confirmed and I go to church from time to time. And the other man said, yes, I know about all that, but are you a Christian? You see, no, my friend went away and thought about it, you see. How can I be a Christian? And then he discovered from the Bible that being a Christian is a very simple matter. It's a matter of handing one's life over to Jesus, inviting Jesus to come in and take charge and to be the Savior and the Lord whom we follow and obey for the rest of our life. That is how we become a Christian. And Moses led his people in such a way through the wilderness that all the marks of the Christian life were foretold for them, you see. They cried out because they had no water to drink. And Moses was told to smite the rock, and the water flowed out. And they cried out again because they had nothing to eat. And Moses was told that the manna would come, and the manna came from heaven. What was it? We don't know. To this day, we don't know what the manna was. Which you see, manna, is in Hebrew. What is it? What is it, you see? So that the people of Israel said, we're going to have what is it for breakfast and dinner and tea and supper. And in that sort of way, God led his people through the wilderness. A wilderness, a desert, is a dangerous place. There are dangerous enemies, and they had to fight the Amalekites who came out against them. Joshua was the leader in that campaign, and God delivered them from their enemies. While Moses interceded for his people, holding his hands up like that, you see, interceding for his people, just as the living Jesus intercedes for us to this very day, you see. We have a high priest in heaven who intercedes for us, lifting up his hands for us, you see. We are his followers, and we depend entirely upon his intercession. And so Moses led his people through the wilderness. He brought them first of all to the Mount of God, and at the Mount of God Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, which are fundamental laws of God, you see. There are many churches which have the Ten Commandments written up so that people shan't forget them. And in actual fact, the laws of our country are based fundamentally upon the Ten Commandments. That's the basis on which they were built. Moses spoke to the people about the Ten Commandments, and when they turned aside while Moses was up the Mount Sinai and began to worship other gods, and Moses came down and he found that they had apostatized, had turned away from God, and he broke the tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments were written. And it was a terrible act of disaster, and repentance, at last repentance followed. And Moses went up the mountain again, and again he was given the Ten Commandments written on two tablets of stone. And so Moses brought his people almost to the border of the Promised Land. But Moses was not to go into the Promised Land. 12 spies went out, representing the tribes of Israel. And they came back with a false report. It was only Joshua and others who were faithful to God. And at last they came to the edge of the Promised Land, and Moses was allowed to see the Promised Land, but not to go into it. Once I was in the shepherd's fields at Bethlehem, and I walked right across the shepherd's fields till I was looking down over the River Jordan. And then I looked up and I saw the mountains of Moab, and I said to myself, in one of those mountains Moses died, you see. God told him his time had come. God allowed him to see the Promised Land, but not to enter it, you see. And Moses had to die there. No man knows his sepulchre unto this day. And what an epitaph Moses had. There arose in Israel no prophet like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. What a wonderful thing to be said about anybody. Oh, Moses was a very, very great man. And he left an example which was never forgotten. And right to this very day, the people of Israel look back to Moses and think of him as the great leader and the great founder of their nationality, you see. Moses, the man of God, he led his people out of Egypt, not by means of conquest, not by some sort of clever act, but simply by being a man of God, you see. What a tremendous difference it makes when we obey God. God speaks, and he speaks to us, and we hear his voice, and we obey. Moses, the great example of obedience to the word of God. That's the great lesson which we learn from this wonderful man. Obedience to the word of God. Amen.